You're listening to Radio Aryan at RadioAryan.com.
Hello and welcome to Truth Will Out Radio. Today's date is Friday, the 22nd of September, 2017. You're listening to me, Sven Longshanks. I believe it's the equinox, actually. We're now into the dark half of the year, but never fear. We will be here to cheer you up through the winter evenings, myself and also my co-host, the producer of Adolf Hitler, The Greatest Story Never Told, Communism by the Back Door, and the Freemasonic Victors of World War II, Mr. Dennis Wise. Dennis, how are you doing today?
I thought when you said equinox, we had another guest on. I'm all right. How's yourself?
Yeah, much better, actually. I do apologise for us not bringing you a podcast last week. It was my fault. I was unavailable. I just wasn't up to it, but I'm back to how I normally am this week. Yeah, back to my cheery old self. We've got loads to get through tonight as well, haven't we? We were just discussing off air. Yeah, we believe in National Socialism. Me and Dennis do. We think that National Socialism is the only way that white people can preserve our race, and it's the correct way for us to live. It's in tune with nature's laws. It's in harmony with the universe. But it doesn't seem that everybody else thinks that way in the alt-right. Some people think that it's a German thing, or they think it's outdated, or they think it's irrelevant. Some people even think that it's leftist because it's got socialist in the word, national socialist. So we thought what we would do tonight is explain why the alt-right needs national socialism and why it isn't dated. You can bring it forward into the 21st century. These principles that national socialism was built upon are eternal principles. It doesn't matter what year you are living in. If you want to have a productive society, then you have to adhere to these principles. I don't know if you want to add to that, Dennis, before we start looking at the 25-point plan.
Well, this is something I looked into before. This is pre The Greatest Story Never Told days. It's when I was first getting interested, looking a bit more into it. And this is something I covered. Going back a few years ago, the video is still up on YouTube from the old YouTube channel I had, but forgot the password, and there it sits. So, yeah, I'd be interested to go back over it again.
Well, it seems that some people have said, oh, look at the 25-point plan, and how can that be relevant to today? It's talking about Germany. It's talking about the Versailles Treaty. But all of these things can be transposed into the 21st century, and they apply to a situation that we're in today. Especially the bits about the Jews.
It's quite sensible when you look at it, and when you say it applies to today, because a lot of things that are going on are not sensible. Even the flooding of Europe with Africans is not sensible. So it does apply today.
Oh, we're in the same situation, aren't we? I mean, they were living in the Weimar Republic. They had no money. Yep. Money kept going up. We've still got inflation today. There was no jobs. There was perversity all around them. Just absolute degrading behavior all around them that was going on. And it's the same today. The same with Hollywood and television. It's so much worse. Yeah. And their solution was the correct solution. It worked. This is the thing about National Socialism. It proved that it worked. For 10 years, they were the most advanced country on the planet. And they had to be taken down by the might of all the other countries in the world to fight against them. Just was one tiny country, yeah. Germany,
that was brought about. Half the size of Texas, yeah.
Yeah, it was just brought about by the race and the nation uniting together and working in harmony. Instead of all out for themselves as individuals, which is what we're encouraged to do today. Well, if we start with the first one, and this is from the National Socialist 25-point plan, and you can find that on Wikipedia. You can't say that we are playing around with the actual plan itself. But number one, it says, we demand the unification of all Germans in the Greater Germany on the basis of the people's right to self-determination. Now, some people would look at that and say, how can that be applicable to today? It's talking about Germany, Greater Germany. But that's exactly what we are demanding. We want white countries for white people. We want to stand up for all the other whites, the whites that are in America, the whites that are in New Zealand, whites that are in Sweden, and say, we demand that white people have their countries back on the basis of our right to self-determination. We want to be governing ourselves. So number one is perfectly applicable today, I would say. What are your thoughts on this one, Dennis?
Well, yeah, because today it's the white countries which have been flooded with Africans, if you like, you know, for better words. But, you know, that's not happening to any other country. It's not happening to China. It's not happening to Africa itself. It's just targeted at the white countries. And to preserve your own race, you know, sometimes it takes even more extreme measures. But the point is, the race needs to be protected and saved. And this is certainly one way of going about it. It needs the laws to do it. But unfortunately, the people in charge of the white countries do not want to make these laws because they're all part of this evil what's going on.
Well, that's just it, isn't it? How can we unite within our own countries when we're divided because we've got these other races among us? That's what diversity is. It's division. It's the Bible verse that says that a house divided against itself will fall, and yet we're told diversity is a strength. It's the complete opposite. Diversity is not a strength. It means that your country is divided and that you cannot unite with your own people and take a stand for self-determination. And this is exactly the same thing that was done to Germany after the war. The Germans were split up. You had some in Poland, some in Czechoslovakia. You even had bits of land in between them. So how could they unite as the German people? They couldn't. And Germany was weak because of that. So their first demand was to unite the German peoples as part of a greater Germany. And we could say we want to unite the white British people by getting rid of all the foreigners here. But at the same time, we also want to say the same for everyone in the white race. We want all white countries to be given back to the white nations, whose countries they are.
Sorry, I just wanted to say, you could understand this if it were just the countries, I mean, it wouldn't be right, but I mean, you could understand it if it was just the countries what were defeated in World War II, as Germany was, and Germany was, again, you know, taken apart and reconstructed, shut the doors for 5 years, changed all the textbooks, changed all the laws. Well, you know, you could understand that to an extent because this is the victor taking the spoils. But it's the countries like New Zealand and Australia and Britain and all the other white countries, America, which thought they won the war. But in fact, now we realise that the people in charge of them countries are doing the same to these populations in New Zealand, Australia and America. So there is a common enemy in there somewhere. And unfortunately, these people in these countries fought Germany in World War II and thought they'd won the war, gone home, and Germany could suffer the consequences. No, we're all suffering the consequences now.
Well, yeah, this right to self-determination, how can you say that Sadiq Khan, the Pakistani mayor of London, has a right to be governing the capital city of Britain? He can't. That has to be a white person. Self-determination.
Well, again, can I just interrupt you again? Last episode of Communism by the Back Door, I showed a clip of a secret meeting between Cameron and he's obviously in a Muslim meeting. And he's saying that his exact words, something on the lines, we need more Muslims in this country. We do not need to see any more white Christian faces. We need more Muslims in this country, and they must be given more power in politics and in the army. I mean, it was basically handing over Britain to another race.
He was saying that he wants to see a Muslim prime minister in his lifetime. That's another quote of his.
That's another one, yeah.
So he doesn't want to see us have self-determination. He wants to see us ruled over by foreigners.
Muslim country, what would do that with Christians?
Well, there isn't, is there? There just isn't. This is just it. We are in the same state that Germany was in after the war, and yet we're told that we won the war.
Exactly.
And yet we're in that state, the defeated state. Well, number two. It says, we demand equality of rights for the German people in respect to the other nations, abrogation of the peace treaties of Versailles and Saint-Germain. So again, people would look at that and they would say, well, how is that applicable to today? Abrogation of peace treaties and equality of rights for the German people in respect to the other nations. Well, there's two points there. we do not have equal rights with the foreigners in our countries. They are privileged. If when crimes occur against them, we get punished far more than if they commit crimes against us. We cannot criticize them because of the hate speech laws, because of the Race Hate Act. They can say that we call them a racial slur, and we get extra punished for that. So we don't have equality of rights with the other people in our countries. And where it says abrogation of the peace treaties of Versailles and Saint-Germain, well, that would be the abrogation of the treaty with the European Union. That would be the abrogation of the treaty with the United Nations. That would mean getting rid of the climate change treaty. All these various treaties and organizations that we've become tied up with that are governing us rather than us being governed by our own people. They're telling us what taxes we have to make. They're telling us what our budget should be. They're telling us what our law should be. They're telling us that homosexuals and Negroes have got more rights to be in our countries than we have, and that we should be paying for all of this. So all of that needs to go. So, you know, that to me seems very, very similar to what we've got today, Dennis.
Yeah, it was funny when you should mention the hate speech again. Just going back to a comment this week about one of the episodes of Communism by the Back Door. There's a particular episode where this rabbi goes on a bit of a rant to say that, you know, the Jews are separate from everybody else. And this goyim is if you've got a full bucket of water, then the last drop of that bucket is equivalent to a goyim. And then this guy who was obviously watched the video came on and said, this is hate speech.
Oh, this is just it. They can say things that we can't. They can say things exactly. That we can't. They can say, well,
I have to agree Hollywood. That I'm just a drop in the bottom of a bucket. I know.
they can say that, you know, they rule Hollywood. They can say that they're the richest people in the world. But if we are to say it, then that's a crime if we say it. And again, on this equality, we demand equality of rights for the German people. How can we say that we have equal rights with the foreigners in our country when groups like the BBC are saying no white people need apply for this job? We want black and brown people to apply for this job. If you're white, you're not going to get the job. So you have this affirmative action as well, or reverse discrimination, as they call it in Britain. That white people nowadays, we have the lowest of the low. We don't have the same rights as the other people in our countries. We are treated far worse than them.
We're the racist ones if you're white.
Yeah, so this, we demand equality of rights for the German people and the abrogation of peace treaties. That's exactly the same as today. The third one, it says, we demand land and territory, colonies, for the sustenance of our people and colonization for our surplus population. And again, somebody could look at that and say, well, that's definitely not applicable to today. We don't want colonies. We don't want to be colonial. That was a terrible thing. But if you look at the principle behind that, why were they demanding land and territory? It says for the sustenance of our people and for our surplus population. We need food. We need resources and we need land for the next generation and the generations after that. Now, we can't today go out and colonize other lands. What the Germans did, they suggested that they had the parts that were unlived in of Russia, because the rest of the world had already been colonized by Britain and by France and everyone else. But what we could do is just remove all the foreigners from our countries, and then we would have enough land for ourselves, because we don't produce as much of a family as we used to back then. Back then, they used to have 6 children, 8 children, 10 children in a family. Nowadays, we're lucky if you've got 2 children in a family. We'd be lucky if we can just reproduce ourselves, as it were. But if we were to remove all the foreigners from our countries, we would have enough land and territory for the sustenance of our people and for our surplus population. So the principle behind this, that we need to be thinking about the future, thinking about the resources that are necessary for our children, that principle is still exactly the same today. The only difference is that they were thinking of a different way of solving the problem. But the fact that they stated this principle and made that, you know, a part of their 25 points shows you how important this is. And this, again, this is just as important today for white nationalism. We need our land, territory, and resources for ourselves. So, again, this needs to be a part of the alt-right. What are your thoughts on that, Dennis?
Well, yeah, it's right what you say, but it was also taken into account the lands that had been formerly Germany, which were stolen as well. And, you know, so he's looking to, well, he actually went ahead and did it, didn't he? He managed to get the land back. I mean, it wasn't a shot fired till the Polish campaign. So, yeah, I mean, and when you think about it, with all the migrants, what Merkel had brought into Germany, when it was complaining that at that point there's not enough room, and she's brought in another million Africans or Afghans or whatever, you know, that country's getting smaller by the day.
Right, so it's the reduction of the birth rate as well, isn't it? Our birth rates keep reducing. I think the Germans have got the lowest birth rate, and we're certainly not reproducing enough to replace the white people that are already here. And you could say, I mean, this is an excuse for the reason why they say we need to have free trade.
This is Soros's excuse, yeah.
Yeah, because we can't produce enough food for ourselves in our own countries. And we've got 70 million people in Britain, and 20 million of them must be foreigners. If we got rid of that 20 million, then sure, we'd be able to grow enough food for ourselves. We always were able to before. We never had a problem growing enough food for ourselves. That's what we need to do to solve this problem. So I don't see how someone on the alt-right could say, you know, national socialism, it's got nothing to do with what we're demanding as white nationalists. Because every one of these ones so far, the principle that is involved in it, the principle that they're stating out, is exactly the same. Their solution
it's the same answer to the same problem, in other words, isn't it?
Yeah, their solution to the problems was different back then. But the actual stating out what the problem was is still exactly the same today. Okay.
Well, Germany were under threat more than anybody, weren't they? I mean, they were race mixing even before World War II, so
yeah,
you knew, did Hitler.
We're just thankful that we had Hitler and he spoke up and he laid down these principles that we can look back on them today and say, look, these are eternal principles. They're not going to change. You have to adhere to them, which is why we support National Socialism. It's got nothing to do with wanting to dress like Nazis or nostalgia for the 30s and the 40s. It's basically, this is a worldview and a philosophy that is the correct one.
Which actually worked.
Yeah, it worked. Number four, only a member of the race can be a citizen. A member of the race can only be one who is of German blood, without consideration of creed, which means religion. Consequently, no Jew can be a member of the race. Now, I'll just say that back then, the words race and nation were interchangeable. So you would have the German race, you would have the British race, you would have the French race. So what he's really talking about there is the ethnic nation. Only a member of the ethnic nation can be a citizen. And again, this is exactly what we're saying with the alt-right, what we're saying with white nationalism. We need an ethnostate made up of citizens that are united by a bond of blood and a shared history and a shared language, shared ancestors, an extended family, as it were, so that you feel for the people around you. You care instinctively for the people around you and the people that are going to come in the future. So again, this is the same as what the alt-right is saying today. Only a member of the race can be a citizen, and no Jew can be a citizen. How could they be? A Jew is an outsider. He has his own ethnostate. He has Israel that he can go and live in. He doesn't need to be in our countries. Do you want to add anything to that, Dennis, before I do
that? Well, yeah, I mean, obviously, the days of Palestine and Israel were just starting, and then at that time where Hitler had friendly relationships anyway, just to ship them out down to Palestine. But, you know, today when Israel is around, we're still having American dual citizenship where, you know, you've got some members even of the Congress who fought for the Israeli army at some point or trained with the Israeli army because they are Jewish, and then they come back and suddenly they're American again. That needs to be addressed as well, I think.
Oh, definitely dual citizenship. You think Syria won't allow any dual citizens to hold office? I don't think they would allow them to even have businesses. You have to show that you've got grandparents that are Syrian before you can actually do anything in Syria. It's just common sense. Otherwise, you're going to get people moving into your country, buying everything up, and you're going to have nothing for your own people.
Yeah, which has happened in the past, of course. I think one of the Israeli leaders were once bragging that they bought up half of Poland. Sorry, Hungary, I think.
Well, they certainly bought up half of Germany, didn't they, after the war?
Yeah, I don't think they paid much for it, did they?
No. Well, part number five is linked to number four, because it's about a similar subject. It says, whoever has no citizenship is to be able to live in Germany only as a guest. And must be under the authority of legislation for foreigners. So what that is saying is, look, we're not saying nobody from any other races can come to our country, no foreigners can come here, nobody can visit us. Sure, we can have guests, but guests have to behave themselves, and guests may be under different legislation to the citizens. And this is what they have in Japan. In Japan, it's an ethno nation, and they have parts of Japan where no foreigners can go. They've got pubs and bars which are only for the Japanese. And it's against the law for foreigners to go in there. Why would a foreigner want to go in there? That's the Japanese place where they can be Japanese and they don't have to worry about there being outsiders there.
So, correct.
Yeah, this is not, you know, this isn't race hate. This isn't hating other races.
No, it's in fact, what's written down here, what I wrote a few years back, was a rule to ensure the strength of a nation while also allowing the prosperity of the said nation to be enjoyed by everyone. So, makes sense to me.
That's a very good way to put it, I think, Dennis.
Thank you.
Share the prosperity. Yeah, it's like you have guests around your house, but you know, they don't expect to live there for the rest of their life.
Yeah, I mean, not many go into the bedroom, do they? Let's be honest.
No, that's it. You know, they go home when they go home, and you've got your own areas, and you know, it's just common sense and courtesy. Number six, the right to determine matters concerning administration and law belongs only to the citizen. Therefore, we demand that every public office of any sort whatsoever, whether in the Reich, the county, or municipality, be filled only by citizens. We combat the corrupting parliamentary economy, office holding only according to party inclinations, without consideration of character or abilities. So what they're saying is that anyone that's in a public office has to be a part of the ethnic nation, and nobody is going to be getting into important positions unless they've actually shown that they are of good moral character and abilities. So people are going to get to where they are on merit. They're not going to get to where they are on the fact that they went to a school or the special school or the old boys network or because they bribed their way in there. They're only going to get into the top positions if you've shown you merit those top positions. If you look at democracy, the way that we have it today, say you get the Tory party in power, they'll just hand over the positions like Home Secretary or Education's Minister to somebody who knows nothing whatsoever about education, knows nothing whatsoever about being a Home Secretary, and they just give them that job. And they do it for 5 years or whatever. Wouldn't it be better if you had someone who is a Home Secretary that had been training to be working in that area all their life, or somebody who is going to be the Secretary of Education, who had been teaching for the last 50 years and have worked their way up right to the very top. We want people to be given their positions in society only on their merit, not on anything else, and they have to be part of the ethnic nation, which would, of course, would exclude people like Khan in London. Dennis, your thoughts?
Well, this is a sore subject for me because obviously, you know, the UK is a Masonic country, and it's got certain restrictions on Christians and certainly on Catholics. Catholics can't be prime minister. So whenever a Catholic is born, he's immediately got restrictions all around him. And interestingly enough, I don't watch much mainstream news these days, so I missed it when it actually happened. But I was reading about today about the ex-liberal leader who was a devout Christian and had to resign because he felt he couldn't continue as the liberal leader because of all the liberal agenda they've got with homosexuals and you know, marriage. And so consequently, he's had to resign himself. But the point being is that there are restrictions even in Britain on certain minorities, and I'm one of them.
Well, if you remember, when we did that number four there, where it said a member of the race can only be one who is of German blood without consideration of creed. And that's what it meant there by without consideration of creed. It meant it doesn't matter if you're Catholic. It doesn't matter if you're Protestant. Just so long as you're a German, you're a citizen. So if this was to be applied today, that's what it would be saying. It doesn't matter if you're Catholic. It doesn't matter if you're Protestant. If you are good enough and you're white, then, and you're British, then, you know, you can work your way up to that position, regardless of what religion you are. So, obviously, some
people in power are looking, I'm saying Catholics, they're looking at Catholics as not really British. That is what they're saying in essence.
Well, it's the blood that counts. That's what this is saying, isn't it? It's the blood that counts. Yeah. And that's what the alt-right is saying, that it's the blood that counts. Doesn't matter what religion you are. It's your blood and a shared ethnicity that is of importance. Right, what's the next one? Number seven. We demand that the state be charged first with providing the opportunity for a livelihood and way of life for the citizens. If it is impossible to sustain the total population of the state, then the members of foreign nations, non-citizens, are to be expelled from the Reich. Again, this is just such common sense. The country should be providing jobs for the ethnic nation first. If there aren't enough jobs for British people, then why is there any other type of person in the country? And how can they say that by importing foreigners it's good for the economy because they set up all these businesses and they pay all these taxes, when every one of those businesses has removed that opportunity for that business from someone who is British? And this is the same in every white country. Every white country is being flooded with cheap labour and being encouraged to accept more. And our own people are without work. You know, we've got unemployment. We've got our own people that can't afford to become nurses. They can't afford to study to become doctors. We're filling the NHS up with African doctors and Indian doctors and Indian nurses when we should be paying for our own people to be studying and learning and being able to look after our own people. It's a false economy not to do that, because our own people are going to be the best at it, regardless of the fact we have the highest IQs than these others. I mean, if we were to inculcate in the young a sense that the nation is their family, they're going to be wanting to do their very, very best for their nation.
You hit the nail on the head there. That's definitely true.
Well, it's got to be done, isn't it? You do your best for your family.
Well, the millions, I'm sure, in this country feel alienated from in their own country, because obviously there are other people getting preferable treatment. And for instances, like I just said, you know, on the last one, but you're absolutely spot on. And when you have that feeling where you're being alienated, that doesn't bring the best out of a person. Really doesn't.
Oh, yeah, we're looked on as second best all the time, isn't it? Oh, the British people are so lazy. We have to bring these other people in to do the jobs that the British people don't want to do. They're so lazy, or they're no good at it. When we get them in to work on the farms, they're just no good at doing the job. Well, it should be forced to employ the British people. And I'm sure that we would get better at doing the job. And I'm sure that the farmers themselves and the big business owners would no longer rubbish the British workers. They would big them up instead and encourage them to do better, instead of saying, oh, well, they're useless. They can't do the job. You know, we have to encourage people. This is what I'm always saying.
Well, I think that's a myth anyway, but yeah.
Yeah, it's not true.
You know, it's a myth from the years of unemployment, which has been put over the people, if you like. I've never known a country always being so much debt and always skint, yet they always find money for the odd war every now and again.
Well, and also, I mean, they say the reason why we've had to come out with this made-up black history is so that blacks don't feel bad about themselves. We have to tell them that they're really clever, and we have to make all these TV shows with them as doctors and lawyers and detectives, because if they feel good about themselves, then they'll think that they're able to do that themselves, and they'll study and they'll be able to. So we do it for the other races, but for the white people, we say, oh, no, you invented slavery, colonialism, you're racist, and on top of that, this you're lazy and you don't want
to
work.
This reminds me of a build-up of how to get rid of Christmas.
how to get rid of Christmas?
Yeah, you know, we can't be having all these plays, nativity plays and religious statues all around at Christmas because you're going to get the Muslims. Not that the Muslims really give a damn, but, you know, it's a sure way of saying, like, that you can't have Christmas.
Well, it's constant, isn't it? It's constant attacks on white people. Instead of encouraging us, instead of telling the young people about what wonderful, amazing ancestors they had and the incredible things that they did. And
inventions,
saying,
yeah, you're right.
Their blood runs in your veins. You can go out there and do the same. Instead of that, we're saying to them, don't have children. Just
even
die
I'm
off.
Being lifted up now.
Yeah, you got people like that, Yasmin Alligator Brown, on the television saying, oh, just die off white people, won't you?
Yeah.
And people cheering her and clapping her. If you were to say that about these other races, you'd be locked up. It's a complete double standard that we have. So the state should be concentrating on its people. Again, this is why you have to have an ethno-state. It has to be made up of the people that it's actually governing, because otherwise it's going to be pulling itself apart at the seams. You're going to have a Muslim here who's looking out for the Muslims. You're going to have a Sikh there who's going to be looking out for the Sikhs. You're going to have a Russian there who's looking out for the Russians, and a Paki there who's looking out for the Pakis. And what we need is a state that's working together, made up of white people, that's just going to be looking out for white people, looking after white people.
I mean, Putin said, like, that, you know, you can't have minorities coming into a country and starting to, you know, show the way. That's not their place. Their place is, if you want to come into a country, you accept all the laws and, you know, everything what goes with it. You don't come in and laws are changed for them people, which is exactly what Germany's done.
Well, Putin wouldn't stand for it, would he? I mean, he does what he can for Russia. Not for the rest of the world. It's like Donald Trump, why he pulled out of the climate change agreement, because that wasn't any good for America. But the rest of Europe is quite happy to go along with it. Never mind the fact that it's no good for Britain and it's no good for Europe, and it just benefits these other countries. But instead of that, we've just got this idea that, oh, we're all human beings. We've fallen for that one. But nobody else is going to look out for us. When you think about it.
No, they're not. It's true.
You know, it's like for yourself, isn't it, Dennis? You know, I mean, nobody else is going to look out for me. I have to look out for myself. Nobody else is going to do that for me.
That's nobody right. Well, it goes right down to this stance with the family, isn't it? You know, you never criticise, you know, the family is your rock, isn't it? And if anybody's going to criticise the family, I'll criticise them, nobody else. That type of thinking. And it's worked for thousands of years, you know.
Yeah, and you can extend that to the nation. So the nation has to look out for the nation, because nobody else is going to do it. In fact, these other nations are just going to do their best to get one over on us.
Well, they'll try every trick they can, because that's their, especially our friends, that's, you know, that's the born thinking that way.
Yeah. Number 8, any further immigration of non-citizens is to be prevented. We demand that all non-Germans who have immigrated to Germany since the 2nd of August 1914 be forced immediately to leave the Reich. Again, this is just common sense. But where it says any further immigration of non-citizens, non-Germans, so the way that you would transpose that to today is you would say only white people can come into our countries. Only white people can emigrate to Britain. Only white people can emigrate to America because of the fact that they share that blood. And also only if there is enough work for them, because, you know, the earlier one, as you said, it's only if there is enough work for the people that are there. So again, this is what white nationalism says. This is what the alt-right is saying, that we don't want any further immigration from foreigners. And they should be forced. The ones that are here are going to have to leave. Now, it doesn't say here that they're going to be forced at the end of a gunpoint to leave the Reich. And all you would have to do here is say, you're no longer going to get free education. You're no longer going to get free housing.
Cool.
Yeah, no free healthcare, certainly no benefits, and we'll also help you with the ticket price on the way back. You could even say to them, we'll give you financial incentives so that when you go back to Syria or when you go back to Pakistan, you'll have a nice nest egg that you can use to build a new house and set up a business. And we would still have lots more money than we have now when you think,
well,
90% of Muslims unemployed. 90% of Muslims at working age are unemployed.
Exactly. Well, this is the point I'm going to come to about Poland, because what Poland did, obviously, under the EU laws, they were forced to accept these migrants. But Poland is a Catholic country, a devout Catholic country, and they're not really into changing laws for Muslims, to be honest. So consequently, they have these massive demonstrations. And what the government did, they just made the benefits of that law unlivable, that they all left to go to Germany.
Well, we need to have some massive demonstrations ourselves. I mean, Poland are doing really well. Again, a big difference with Poland is that they've kept their religion, haven't they? They've kept their Christian religion. These East European countries, where the communists tried to destroy religion and take it away from them,
it made it stronger.
Once the Iron Curtain fell, then there was that rebound, and it was the faith, I think, that had kept these people strong all this time under communism.
No doubt.
And that's helped them to keep their countries for themselves. And this is an essential part of all nationalism, is that you have to get rid of the foreigners that are in your countries, and you have to stop any more immigration. And this is the reason why everyone voted for Brexit. They want no more immigration into Britain. And yet today we've got Theresa May, a horrible traitor, hypocrite, saying that there isn't going to be a stop to immigration. She's watering down every part of Brexit that people voted for. It's going to carry on for another 2 years after 2019. So you've got another 4 years of the same amount of immigration that we've got now.
Well, they're probably up it, to be honest.
Yeah.
Knowing them.
And it's essential that we stop our countries being flooded with all these foreigners. And the second part is that the ones that are already here are going to have to be repatriated. And it needs to be done sooner than later, just because of the rate that they reproduce at. You know, having double the amount of children as us, how can you keep allowing them in? It has to be stopped. So the National Socialist view on that, I would say, is the same as the alt-right view.
Well, can you imagine Germany at that time if, you know, a certain minority came into that country and started demanding that the women dress different, or demand that this restaurant shouldn't sell pork? It just wouldn't be stood for. Well, this is what's going on in Europe today.
Yeah, well, the civic nationalists, that's what they'll say is, oh, they'll be okay if they come over and they will obey our laws and they won't try to change our laws. But you're just having them here in the first place. They're taking up, they are displacing our own people. Each house that they're in is a house that one of us can't live in. Each job that they take is a job that we can't have. Each business that they create is a business that can't be created by one of us. So they have to go.
And then you'll live eventually in the midst of Sharia law.
Yeah, you'll be living in the middle of that. But before then, you won't be able to talk to anyone. You won't be able to communicate to anyone, because they'll all be talking a different language and demanding that we provide translators for them. Effort, the resources that has gone into this are just phenomenal. That the actual cost of paying.
Yeah, must be phenomenal. Yeah.
Let alone the changes in the law and the forcing people to think differently and to think that caring for your race is wrong. It's a fantastic amount of work has gone into trying to destroy the white race, basically. I mean, we have to see it and
it's worked.
Identify the enemy and fight against it, which is what the National Socialists did. Number 8, all citizens must have equal rights and obligations. Now, this is an old thing, that everybody should be equal under the law. But ever since we've allowed immigration, we're no longer equal under the law. The Race Hate Act, so-called hate crimes, accusing people that stand up for the right of the British people to live in their own country, accusing them of being terrorists for saying that. The political correctness. All of this, we are no longer equal in the eyes of the law. And it started off with the Jews, with their anti-Semitic laws and not being able to be criticized. So there was a certain group that we could no longer criticize without being criminalized. And if any crimes occurred against the Jews, then the person committing the crime would be far more punished than anyone else. And the Jews even have their own police force the Shomrim. How is that equal for everybody? How do you think the government would act, Dennis, if we set up our own police force to protect young white schoolgirls?
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe we'd be locked up, wouldn't we, for forming a paramilitary organisation and wearing uniforms, They've done that to Britain First for wearing uniforms.
Yeah.
They must have equal rights and obligations. Do you want to talk a bit about that, or shall I move to number 10?
No, I'm just going to say, this is number 9, by the way, yeah. I mean, this kind of dispels the myth that they were racist, because they say everybody, whatever colour, is granted equal rights, which must be a shot to a lot of people listening out there. Well, I wouldn't say to our regular listeners, but to anyone listening who's not really clued up on Germans at that time.
Well, everybody should be equal under the law. I mean, what they try to say is that, oh, well, minorities are unequal because there's prejudice against them, so we have to counteract that prejudice, and in order to do that, we have to change the laws to make things easier for them and harder for those who are prejudiced against them. But that just makes things prejudiced against us. You have to have one law for everyone.
Yeah. Well, one gains strength, one loses strength. Yeah. And the people of the country are losing the strength.
Right, so it's like the affirmative action again as well, where they say, each university has got to have a certain amount of black and ethnic minority students there.
Yeah. That's another pet hate of mine.
How is that equal? Because the black and minority students don't have to work so hard then. They're being given their position at university just by the colour of their skin, whereas the white man has worked really hard. He can't get in because he's not a female and because he's not black. So,
this is the great time to be gay, black, or a woman. I've got to be honest.
Well, exactly. And how does being gay, black, or a woman qualify someone to do their job better?
Hey, listen to this one, right? I was watching Emmerdale the other night. I don't watch it normally, right? But I was just having a quick bite to eat, and TV was on, and there was two guys and a woman stood together talking, and this girl says, "Well, go on then, ask him, go on." At this point, nothing's bothering me, like, but then she comes out with, "Will you give him his number?"
They've got to push it everywhere, haven't they? Everywhere they've got to push it.
Even while I'm eating.
God, even worse. Homosexuality's got to be pushed everywhere, and we're supposed to see that as meaning that the person is imminently qualified for whatever position it is that they're trying to get. And they're trying to say we should have homosexuals on the boards of directors, should have women on the boards of directors, we should have women in the army.
Just the numbers. It's crazy.
Yeah, just why? Why don't we just want the best person for the job doing the job?
This is Marxism at its best, isn't it? Or worse, should I say.
How can people be so stupid as to think that for all this time, people haven't been giving the best person the job? They haven't been giving it to the best person.
No, that's been typical of what's going on over the last few years, isn't it, really, when you look around?
I mean, no businessman is not going to give the job to the best person. He's not going to think, I'm not going to give it to this woman who's fantastically qualified and really good at the job. No, I'm just going to give it to this man, but just because he's a man. It doesn't happen.
It's crazy.
It doesn't happen. And when they say that there's this gap between the wages and that women do the same jobs as men, but they're not paid the same, that's because they have more time off. They average it out over the life, and women have more time off over that life, so their average is less. Nobody
Maybe
says, I'm going to pay you less.
A non-gender population.
Yeah, nobody says, I'm going to pay you less because you're a woman. I've never, ever been in any job where women have been paid a different hourly rate to the men. They don't. They get exactly the same. And because they have more time off, that's why they have less money. It's all a scam.
Fair point is that. I mean, Tesco's don't pay much as it is, but I dare say they're all on the same money, women and fellas. Gotta be.
Yeah, they have to be. They have to be by law. It's just a lie that the feminists put across. Number 10, the first obligation of every citizen must be to productively work mentally or physically. The activity of individuals is not to counteract the interests of the universality, but must have its result within the framework of the whole for the benefit of all. And then it says, consequently, we demand, but I'll move on to the next one in a minute. What they're saying is that everything's got to be to the benefit of the nation. If you've got somebody who is setting up a pornography industry, that's not to the interests of the nation, so we're not going to have that. If you've got somebody that's setting up a usury bank, that's not in the interests of the people, so that's going to have to be stopped.
That's got to go, yeah.
Yeah, it says productively work mentally or physically. So, oh, well, what about people that are disabled, that are unable to do that? Well, they built in welfare for the disabled. They were looked after. The elderly, the infirm, they were looked after. But there was enough work for everyone. They managed to get everybody back to work. So there was no excuse for you not to be working just because you were unemployed. If there was a reason.
Well, yeah. It's also the reason why during the war the Roma gypsies were put in camps. Because like Hitler said, you can't have people just wandering around the country doing nothing. Everybody has got to, you know, we're at war and everybody's got to, you want to live in this country, then you're going to have to work. And the gypsies were put in camps.
Well, they really believed in this, didn't they? I mean, work shall make you free.
Over the Auschwitz gates.
Yeah, I mean, that wasn't some nasty joke that was supposed to be played on the Jews.
No, not at all.
It's a Christian.
It was their belief.
Well, it's a Christian. It's part of the Bible, isn't it? You know, work is everybody has to work. He who will eat should work. You have to feel that you've contributed, and then you feel good. And this is a difference between whites and blacks. If blacks are fed like they are in Africa, then they'd be quite happy not to work. They're quite happy just to put the hand out and get fed. Whereas white people want to feel a part of something. They want to feel like they've contributed. If we haven't contributed, we feel we're worthless. We're not worth anything. We want to have some value. We want to be valued for what we do. And once you feel that you have value, you feel good about yourself, then you improve yourself.
You want
yourself.
To do it again. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is why it's saying the first obligation has to be that you have to work productively, not taking from somebody else. It has to be for the good of the nation. So you're not profiting from somebody else's misery. So if there's a catastrophe, you're not putting up the price of whatever is needed to fix that catastrophe. So if a load of houses are falling down, you're not going to put up the price of bricks and cement. You're going to lower the price of bricks and cement. And this is the way that Europe and Christendom worked for over 1,000 years. Prices were subsidized if there was something that was needed. Whereas today, we look at if there's a shortage of something, then they're going to put the price up on it. So that would be...
Yeah, carpetbaggers, isn't it?
Yeah, that would be unproductively working. That would be counteracting the interests of the universality.
That's right.
Consequently, we demand...
Our friends are central of all that.
Yeah, oh yeah. But again, you see, this cuts the Jews out from it because they're always the middleman.
Yeah.
They're never working for the interests of the universality. They're always working for the interests of themselves. And in order to get away with doing that, they've had to push human rights law and push this idea that everybody should be out for themselves, out for the individual. Everyone should be, it should be a human right to make as much profit as you possibly can from the people around you. But if you're taking that profit from the people around you, they're losing it. And that's fine if you're an outsider, if you're a Jew and you're taking that from the Goyim, because it's not the Jews that are losing that. But if you're a part of the Gentile community, then you're the ones that are losing when the Jew is taking his bit from you. And it's the same with any foreigner that's in our country. Whatever they're taking from the nation is going back to them. Whereas if we've got the nation
Well, first
together,
we do have traitors. Thatcher selling off all kinds of industry for next to nothing for the British to lose to foreign companies what bought it, all these assets, steel, coal, you name it.
Well, that's countering the interests of the universality, isn't it? If you've got an ethnic nation, whatever's taken from one area, it still remains within that nation, and it will circulate around. The rich will be helping the poor out because the money can only stay in one
there,
place.
Yeah.
So it says, consequently, we demand, number 11, the abolition of unearned work and labor incomes, the breaking of debt, interest, slavery. So that's the abolition of usury, basically. No money to be earned from loaning out money.
You can only, slavery.
Yeah, well, that's what it means, isn't it? Any work that's done to pay back interest is enslaved to that person because you've been given nothing for that. You know, if I hand over half a dozen eggs to you, Dennis, you've only got half a dozen eggs that you can pay me back.
Well, interestingly enough, we're about halfway through this now, like, and when you look at and explaining things how they are, most people will be listening to this and say, oh, that was fine. And, that sounds reasonable. But there's one certain section which it's obviously not acceptable to because they're now being restricted from doing their crafts, and I'm quite sure further down the line we'll find out, you know, they're even restricted even more on the things that they brought to Germany, which wasn't didn't go with German culture. But it's interesting, it really is, when you look at it. I mean, I'm quite happy with everything so far, but I'm quite sure there'll be others wouldn't.
Well, when you listening to this, I mean, if people didn't know this was the National Socialist 25-point plan, they probably think, well, yeah, that sounds really good. And as I say, this is exactly what the alt-right is saying. This is what nationalism is about, and the logical outcome when you think about doing what's best for the nation, you come out with exactly the same thing as the National Socialists did. So it's not dated. It's
not just, in fact, they're ahead of the time, weren't they?
Yeah, that's just where it goes. So they banned all usury, banned, again, this is the middleman, you see, this unearned work and labour incomes has to be stopped because, you know, they haven't contributed anything in order to get that money. They've just taken it at the, picking on the person, really.
Yeah, it's like screw them.
It's like bullying. So somebody can't afford to pay for something. And, in 1,000 years ago, the rich would be expected to help the poor out, not because they wanted to make money from them, but just because they were part of the same nation.
That's right.
And that's a Christian ideal, but it's also a National Socialist ideal. Got to get rid of usury. Number 12, in consideration of the monstrous sacrifice in property and blood that each war demands of the people, personal enrichment through a war must be designated as a crime against the people. Therefore, we demand the total confiscation of all war profits. Well, that would have stopped the Iraq war. That would have stopped the Libya war.
It would have stopped the Jews making money again.
you've got to take the profit motive out from these things. Anything that is harmful to people that you then allow there to be a profit with is going to hurt the people. It's the same as this banning of usury. We don't want to be encouraging people to do things that are going to be harmful against us and harmful against the other nations of the world. And again, the Jews are the main ones that have profited from this. You think of...
The likes of Cheney did in Iraq, didn't they, when they got their own companies in there to take over the oil and everything. I mean, it was obviously a business decision.
Massively. Once they've destroyed a country, the banks can move in. And they can loan the money out for the country to rebuild and create that money from nothing.
Life.
Yeah, and then they can then say what all the laws are going to be. Yeah, look at Germany after the war.
Yeah,
lent loads of money to rebuild, and at the same time has to accept all these laws and constitution and is basically a Zionist occupied government in Germany.
Still is today. Yeah.
They got no sovereignty. We did a podcast on Iraq before, didn't we, Dennis, when you were talking about the laws over there?
Same thing, yeah.
And it's all because you've got to rebuild your country after it's been destroyed. And in order to do that, you've got to borrow the money from the banks. So you've got to borrow the money from the Jews. And that's why they do it in the first place. That's why they will go in there and destroy the country in the first place.
Libya's another one.
Yeah, anyone that's got their own banking system. Libya, Iraq. North Korea.
Syria, yeah. North Korea, yeah.
That's the next one.
I mean, just briefly on North Korea, I see, you know, there's one or two bits of rhetoric going on, but what he does all the time, Trump will say something, but he'll take it a step further then. I do admire, he does understand the situation that if he didn't have a nuke, America would have been in there, you know, just like Iraq and just like Syria and Libya, you know, months ago, in fact, years ago probably. And he understands the situation. So every time Trump says something, his next step is to say, fair enough, I'm going to do another test tomorrow in the Pacific. And that then kicks off a whole host of nations complaining to Trump for having a go at him. To me, he has no option. He has to have a nuclear deterrent, otherwise his country's invaded tomorrow.
Yeah, and you can see why they want it. I mean, look at South Korea. That's quite advanced technologically, isn't it?
Yeah.
You've got North Korea there, which is, despite all these sanctions, they've developed everything themselves. They've got their own banking system.
Amazingly,
their own economy, everything they've managed to do for themselves. And the rest of the world must be so envious of that. I mean, these banks are so envious of that. They want that. They want to be running it.
Yeah, they hate that, though, for other countries to do. Because Germany was doing the same, or trying to do the same.
Well, Russia's done similar because of all these sanctions. Russian economy, they're producing so much more of everything for themselves because of these sanctions. So in a way...
Which are actually an act of war, if people didn't know.
Yeah. It's all because they just want to take the country over and bring in their usurious banking system, and then you've got
strip
this
all
separate
the assets,
group at
yeah.
the top. Yeah. Right, the next one.
Where
are we? 13. We demand the nationalisation of all previous associated industries and trusts. Well, that's basically saying that industries such as electric, water, transport, telecommunications, the things that people need, should never be privatised. They should never be privatised and turned into profit-making for
countries' assets,
individuals, let alone foreigners. Which is what we have now. We have our power companies owned by the Japanese.
Needs I think the Rothschilds bought a lot of stuff up as well at the time.
Yeah, because these are things that people need. We need heat to live in a cold country like Britain. So how can you say we're going to charge people and make profit? I mean, you could charge people, but to make profits from people over, you know, something that they need in order to live, like heat, that's immoral. And it's the same with
water. That's the problem with capitalism, because the bottom line is profit, which actually means, in a sense, that if you've got to sell your grandmother, you've got to sell your grandmother. But I want to see profits on that sheet.
Well, what they're saying is they're not saying everything's going to be owned by the government. I mean, that's communism, where there is no private property whatsoever.
There's certain things, though, shouldn't
this
we?
This is the difference.
You're right.
Things that are required, things that you need in order to live, that has to be nationalised. And the same with things which are national property, I would suggest. National property has to be owned by the country, and any profits from that has to go back into the country. It shouldn't be owned by individuals. You know, resources, water, coal, gas, oil, that sort of thing. That should be owned by the nation. But private property has to be retained by the private individual. And the opposite with communism, where there is no private property. So when people say, oh, well, national socialism, that's socialism. It's not. It was only the socialization of the industries that were necessary, because that's what people need. Look at our railways. Look what's happened to them. Now they've been privatized.
Exactly.
Terrible state. And we need all these things. We need all these industries.
I mean, he gave land back to the farmers as soon as he got into power, because he looked at the farmers as providing the bread for the nation. And these farmers, under that jury, the Weimar government, you know, they were struggling to make a living themselves. The land taken off them, and they were behind in the rent, etc. But he gave them the land back. And not only did he give them the land back, he gave them the rights handed down to the farmer's son, so he could produce the bread for the nation as well.
You know, the farmers' laws were brilliant, what they did there. I mean, it shows you just the importance that they placed on the land and the food that it could produce, and how it has to remain within the ethnic nation's hands. How can you sell off a resource like that? The farmland has to be in the family's hands that owned it for centuries, that knows how to work that land, that isn't going to destroy that land. I think we might get on to some of the bits to do with the farming later on, because we're going to have to continue this next week, Dennis. Mm-hmm. I think coming to the end of the podcast now, but I think I've enjoyed that. I think it's been a good episode. I think listeners will enjoy that too. I don't know if you want to add anything quickly here at the end before we finish.
Well, no, it just highlights the fact that, I mean, I hark back to the Thatcher years, when you're selling assets off like this, and in Germany, you know, they weren't real German. And Thatcher, for me, wasn't, you know, she was working for a third entity. You know, she didn't have the country's interests at heart.
Well, this is all about putting the nation's interests first. That's exactly what we want to be doing with nationalism. That's what we want to be doing with the alt-right. And that's what the National Socialists were doing. So we don't want to hear people in the alt-right knocking National Socialism. They should be looking into it and realizing that a lot of what they're advocating for is already National Socialists. So, Dennis, thank you very much for coming on.
Pleasure.
Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. We'll be back next Friday with more Truth Without Radio for you. We do hope you all go out and have a great weekend.
Tuned in to